This episode is brought to you by Carvana. They'll drive you happy. Carvana has purchased over a million cars from happy customers by giving them an offer within minutes. And they can do the same for you. Carvana will give you a real offer for your car within minutes. Then they'll come to pick up your car and pay you on the spot. So to get a real offer on your vehicle in minutes, download the app or visit Carvana.com.
But what's good with everybody? Hopefully everybody having a good day. Gotta talk some Virginia football, man. Get excited. You've been seeing all the tweets and commitments and things of that nature, transfers. We'll talk about all of that. If you want to be a speaker, just hit the request button. Definitely let you tap in and share your thoughts. As always, let's be respectful. It's a fun space, man. You don't have to be aficionado to be a speaker and to share your thoughts. That's not my lane. I like to just interact and speak with everyone. But yeah, man, let Jeremy jump up in here. And I'll find some of the tweets of the commitments and transfers and things of that nature. What's up, Jeremy?
What's happening, Hawk?
Chilling, man.
I know that's right.
That's good.
Yeah, I was looking forward to this, man. I was hustling over the weekend, and I didn't keep up to date with it. But when I settled down last night and I saw the tweets from the commits, I was excited. It's good to see linemen coming in.
Yeah, definitely, man. Definitely good to see linemen coming in and you know, other commits of that nature. You see the coaches, they're hitting the ground running.
Oh yeah.
And that's why it's important to make sure your staff is legit and that everybody can get out there and build relationships, man, versus just trying to make haste moves to appease everybody else, and you never know how it can hurt you in the back end. So I'm liking what I'm seeing, man, and it's a process, you know. They released the date for the spring game as well. I'll get those tweets in here. But what else you got to say, man? I'm gonna let others just come up and talk versus trying to dominate it, to lead it off. I want to hear what fans got to say.
Not much, man. I really came in just to listen to. I got some work things going on, so I just really wanted to hear what everybody else's thoughts were on the commits. I've been seeing a lot of tweets from coaches in the 757, 804, you know, Coach Elliott and the gang, you know, getting to those schools and making their faces seen, which it really excites me. So I just want to hear what everybody else got to say about it.
No doubt, man. This is definitely good. Like, if you're just joining in now, you can request to be a speaker. Just share your thoughts on the latest moves from the coaching staff as far as commits and or transfers, other athletes you think the coaching staff should target, your thoughts on the spring game date. You can also talk about the NFL playoff games from yesterday, too. You can have fun. You don't have to just all be just Virginia football 24/7 the entire time in the space, but I love getting that feedback and checking the temperature, man. That's what it's all about when I do these spaces on Monday, because a lot of times you just find yourself reading articles and listening to other folks talk, but why not be a part of the conversation? So that's why I started these spaces, man.
For sure. I see a couple of the recruits in here. I want to shout them out because they was heavy yesterday. With the retweets and the tweeting, and it's getting the excitement up, especially the young homie Xavier. He was all over.
Facts. Yeah, man, they do a great job, man. Like, that's the thing, man. Recruits can be great tools as far as recruiting their peers and recruiting other players, man. I think a lot of people fail to realize that, and these young people got a lot of power, man. They got a lot of influence. So it's dope to see them, you know, retweeting and sharing each other information and things of that nature. That's why you want fans to be positive when they tweet about the university, go on their site and thank them for joining the family, or, you know, just encouraging them to do the right thing. It's a beautiful thing, man. It's definitely a beautiful thing. Again, man, if you're just joining, you can request to be a speaker. I do these spaces because I don't want to talk the whole time. If I wanted to talk the entire time, I just did a recorded podcast. So don't be afraid to hit that microphone in the bottom left of the app. Hit that request. I'll bring you on. If you got a question for me too, I'll answer that.
Y'all go ahead and jump in here, man, so me and Hawk can just listen to that.
Yo, because any other day, if I want to talk a lot, everybody be trying to request to talk. But when it's days, I'm really giving the floor to everybody. Everybody like, nah, you talk.
Right? I see Ike over there. Ike must be working too.
Yeah, a lot of folks still transition to get off work, and they might be driving. So I understand that too. I'm going to try to find some tweets to share in here to get everybody
to switch it up, though. This weekend was probably some of the best NFL playoff football that I can remember in my lifetime.
Yeah, if you didn't enjoy the NFL playoffs this weekend, I don't know what to tell you, bro. I don't know what to tell you. Like, from top to bottom, it was dope.
Every game, and that Chiefs-Bills game, man, that was like an amazing game. I mean, the defense was terrible, but the quarterback play was phenomenal.
Yeah, it was phenomenal. If you love defense, it killed you.
For sure.
It killed you if you love defense, because it went against all analytics, everything you've been taught. Like, you could play. If you hated prevent,
I hate it.
If you hate that defenses are aggressive, if you hate that they playing man, like everything. They threw out everything, bro. They came with everything. Like, the Bucks, they blitzed 3rd and 19 early in the game. They played cover two with number two going vertical. All the corner got to do is keep sinking. He don't sink. I mean, you even had Jalen Ramsey get beat for a touchdown late. I mean, it was just so many things. It was like, let you know, man, they human. And them buttholes get tight.
Don't they?
They get tight, man. It's
getting smuckered up.
It's not as easy as folks think. Oh, just play this. Like, okay. Go out there and make that call. Because you can make the right – I always tell folks, you can make the right defensive call, offensive call, but the player still got to execute. Look, still come down to execution, man.
You trying to tell me Todd Bowles ain't regretting going zero coverage?
Well, apparently it wasn't Todd's fault. Apparently they saying that the two DBs had a miscue.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like, they said it was on them.
I was like, getting Cooper Kupp singled up like that.
Yeah, that definitely hurts. Ben, what's good with you, Reggie? Both of y'all speakers, you can chime in anytime you want.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, what's up?
How you doing, bro?
What's good, Ben?
Hey, I'm doing well. Well, the first thing is, Thornhill, I think none of that. Oh, it was his fault. Last night I saw him. In the center of the end zone when Davis was just making the corner.
Which play were you referring to?
When the corner fell on the Davis touchdown, I think it was.
I think you're talking about the bomb to Gabriel Davis.
So the first bomb, like, was the 75 yarder?
I know at the, I think it was a minute and.
Those two wasn't his fault, because he has a receiver threat in his face. The bomb could have been his fault, but the other two, Buffalo did a good job of always threatening somebody in this area, like in his vision. And then the corner just fell down. And then the second one, I mean, Gabriel ran a good route in the last one. The first one, the first touchdown, the fourth, that before Tyreek Hill's peace sign won, I don't know what that corner was thinking about. Like, what he saw that made him react like that. Because they sent a number two receiver right at Juan to hold him. And then Gabriel came out, so they basically ran dagger. They ran a post right at Juan, and then a delayed post or a skinny post. I don't know what he ran, but I just know the DB fell down.
Gabe kind of he jabbed like he was going to the out to the sticks.
Yeah.
And then and just kept it up, and the DB just went down. The moment was too big for him, pissed on his leg.
Yeah, that's tight. That's tough, bro. That is tough.
What up, Hawk? How you doing, man?
I'm good, bro. How you doing?
Good, good. Yeah, so getting back on UVA coaching and recruiting, I'm excited to see all these coaches representing, and not just in the 757 and 804, but they're getting down in Southwest Virginia, and I saw they making moves in D.C. and Northern Virginia, so that's pretty hype for me. But one of the questions I have, I know, you know, we're recruiting, you know, several athletes on the defensive side. Do you know Coach Rudd is going to be running like an attack 3-4 or an attack 4-3?
No, it's attack. It's attack 3-4. It's attack 3-4. Yeah.
I love Coach Grow, but his 3-4 sometimes it seemed a little bit read and react, and it would get a little frustrating as a fan because I want to see us get up after some quarterbacks, and sometimes
do you mean Bronco or are you going all the way back?
I'm going way back because you know Bronco. I'm going way back because since we're talking 3-4, and it seemed like a lot of times we were looked like it was a lot of read and react. You would know better as far as X's and O's, but for some reason, I think when they get their hands in the dirt in the 4-3, sometimes those ends can get after a little bit more. But I don't know. You could speak to that a little bit if you could.
Yeah, man, it'd be interesting to see how, like you said, is it read to react or are you trying to create chaos? And that's what we were known for early when Bronco was there. They created chaos. They came down here. They dictated where they wanted the football to go. So that's what you always want to get to versus trying to two gap and read. It takes special athletes to be able to two gap in the 3-4, and it puts a lot of strain on them, and you want to make sure you have a lot of depth. So it's all about if you're running a 3-4, you're going to have four guys at the line of scrimmage showing, and what gaps are they in, and things of that nature. So, that's definitely going to be something that everybody's paying attention to because you saw the good and the bad when Bronco was here with their defenses. You know, when they were on, they were on. When they were off, it was like, uh-oh. So everything has to work on the same accord, too. As much as we say you guys got to cover, you got to get pressure on the quarterback, and it works hand in hand. And as a former DB, you got to have that mindset of sometimes I need to cover to create more time for my defensive line and work their games and get home. I got to be savvy in how I line up and through film study, understanding what they're trying to do to me schematically with their formation, where the ball is set and how I can manipulate and cause the quarterback to hold the ball a second longer or get him to throw it quicker and see something that's fool's gold and take advantage of it. So, it's going to be interesting, man, because it's a transition as far as like different verbiage and the way that each player is taught that was here on defense. Like, your defensive back, like every DB coach doesn't teach their techniques the same. Like, yes, you still got to pedal and understand leverage, but just your progression may be different. You know, some coaches want you to take read stuff. Some coaches just want you to lock onto that man and read the man. So I'm excited, though, man, because his defenses were good. And the thing about his defense, they got after you. Like, they had a lot of hats around the football. They were aggressive. So that's what
you
I'm
think we have the, you think we got the corners to be able to on the roster right now to be able to cover on man and while the front is kind of getting everything done as far as blitzing and such? Or do you think we got to do some different scheming in order to kind of help out the DBs?
I mean, we got a real good corner in AJ. He plays the boundary. So it's all about – so everything – so – the thing about the secondary, man, everybody has to work on the same accord, too. So you can have a lot of talent playing corner, but if you don't understand the scheme, you don't understand where your help is at and know how to take certain routes away, it's going to appear that you're really not good. But mentally, you're making it harder for yourself. So Do I think the guys on the roster now can improve and get it done? I think they can because they under the gun, in a sense, for lack of better terms. Like, they under the microscope. Like, it's a new coach, so you should be ready to perform, and you should want that smoke. Like, Clary playing DB and Cohen King playing DB and Sanker playing DB. Like, those three dudes can play back there. So it's going to be interesting to see who's starting, who's playing a lot of reps, the athletic. Cohen is known as more of a guy that can come down and bite your face off. I like him coming down towards the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. And he started playing football late, too, so he still has a lot of untapped potential. So that's why I'm always excited about him. But in anything, you can't – at this stage, you don't want to leave any of them on the island. The only one I'm comfortable with on the island is AJ, because AJ could come down and just put his paws on you. I ain't worried about him. If he in your face, he going to choke you out.
Yeah, well, if we get Bratton like he was early in his career, I feel very strong about him, too.
Yeah, definitely, man. That's the thing about Darius, bro. Darius has the most – he's the best cover guy. If you just say, hey, play off, man, you got to think. He was beating guys like Tim Harris out before he got injured again. Like, he has a lot of ability, man, but it's just all about your mindset, mentally where you're at. Like, if you're scared to make mistakes, you're not going to play well at corner. It just is what it is. But if you confident in your abilities and your coach is really backing you and they're not playing musical chairs, like, uh-oh, you got to leave, now it's your turn. Like, that sucks as a receiver and a Dave on DB, just going in and out the game. You can never get in the groove. So, yeah, I forgot all about Darius, man. Darius been here so long. I think he do got another year, don't he?
Yeah, I think possibly. So.
Yeah. If he do,
be like 30.
I'll take it. You can have all 3 degrees. But yeah, it's going to be interesting on offense, man. Like, so here's the thing. Offensively, they can help the defense out. The more balanced you are, the more you can utilize the running backs versus just using BA. But if you control the line of scrimmage, run the football, be very balanced, be methodical, everything that doesn't have to be NASCAR and no huddle, you can help your defense. Now you can keep them like
complimentary football. That's what you're talking
exactly.
about.
Exactly. Exactly. Because as much as we love how our offense can score 1 or 2 times, sometimes that was hurting our defense. Now you can't complain. You get the points that you get them. But sometimes you got to kind of be like, whoa, wait a minute. My defense just on the field 6 minutes. They had a couple offsides, self-inflicted wounds, and then Pitt scored. And what do? We score in 2 plays, and they right back on the field. Yeah. So it was like, ooh, you know, you hype. Don't get me wrong. I'm hype. I'm like, yeah, we score. You know what I'm saying? Let's get a stop defense. Then you're like, wait a minute. Daniel's on the field a lot. And what did Pitt do? We're going to keep running. Because they recognize it too. Like, salute to them. A lot of teams see your offense score fast. They feel like they got to keep up. So they feel like they got to throw. Then they make it easier for you. Because now you, in a sense, get the rest versus when you're running the ball, it's a hat on a hat. Everybody got to get to the ball. Everybody got to exert that energy. Everybody got to take a hit somewhere. So, yeah, man, that complimentary football can definitely help mask any deficiencies you have early in the season.
I hope Coach E can recognize that. A lot of coaches don't either just hard-headed about that, but sometimes, man, you gotta help each other out.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes you got to – hey, I done seen coordinators go at it on the sideline like, hey, GD, slow the game down. Coach Walsh was known. Coach Walsh was known to say, come on, we're going too fast. And he's like, what? We like, as an offense, he's like, yo, we rolling. What you talking about? Slow down. But now that I'm older, I understood what he's saying. And I was like, yo, yeah, you scoring fast, but look at your brothers over there. Like, they huffing and puffing. Get them a minute. Let them get the – back then, you know, you was getting pitches. Let them look at the pitches and make their adjustments.
As a former player, question for you. During the game, I know it's a lot going on. Like, do you guys think about the defense? You know, because everybody's cool, you know, but is it, like, very segmented? Because, you know, you guys are usually segmented, like, on the sideline, like defense mm-hmm. over here, offense over there.
Yeah, you, I mean, you definitely paying attention to your brothers, man. You cheering them on. You're looking at them on the Jumbotron. And as they cross, like, the 50 or the 40, you stand up and you walk out to kind of try to alert them what you think is coming. Because you play offense, so you try to alert, like, hey, yo, he tight split. Watch, alert the quick out, alert this, alert that. So you cheering them on. And if you see that they're having – trouble stopping the opposing offense, you're letting them know, like, yo, we got you. We're going to keep scoring. Like, we're going to keep the press, putting the pressure on the opposing offense. Just like if we turn the ball over, they'd be like, we got you. We'll get it back. You know what I'm saying? So it's constant communication. And then sometimes you challenge, like, yo, get a stop. Like, come on, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, you like, right. And then they tell you, dog, go score. We need you to put the game away. Like, don't BS. Type stuff. So yeah, you definitely communicating and holding each other accountable, and that's the great thing about playing on the, like, being on the sidelines that you really can't capture on TV because right. The cameras aren't there that long. But the conversations from a defensive back going up to a receiver and just saying, "Hey, yo, man, these DBs are doing this." Like you will pay attention to kind of see if you could get a tip for your receiver. Be like, "Hey, man. Every time he did this, this is what he's doing. Trust me. If you see they feet square, it's probably covers. They probably short zone-y. Like, do you see that type stuff?" So it comes into play, man. It's a lot of chess moves out there, but the main thing is you can't be out there, like, pointing the finger at each other, because if y'all start fighting amongst each other, that's a wrap. People going to get petty.
I was actually just watching the highlights of when you and Brooks and gang beat Tech
mm-hmm.
last night, and I was like, I remember that game like it was yesterday, man. I was happy as hell.
Yeah, bro, that game in itself, like, we was getting our tails beat that first half, and the players took it amongst themselves to coach each other and motivate each other. Like, don't get me wrong, Coach Wallace had his spiel on when he was saying we're playing, like, we're not playing good. You guys aren't playing good. Like, come on, step it up. Like, what are we doing? But, you know, when it took a guy like Anthony Poindexter comes in and takes away your excuse and say, yo, you can't blame my injury for this. You know what I'm saying? And all y'all got to do is, like, they doing this, they doing that. And then offensively, all they doing this on defense. Like, we just got to – everybody got to just do their job. Just do your job, and we'll be all right. And knowing that we had to force a turnover, knowing we had to get timely stops, knowing that we had to step up to the challenge because they was playing very physical. So it's just one of them things that, as a team, like, it's nut-cutting time. Like, you got to look at yourself in the mirror. Like, yo, man, they not going to stop. Like, you can't have no little puppy dog face. They're going to keep putting their foot in your butt. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was Tech. Tech was going to keep coming out trying to knock you out. And a lot of people, you know, a lot of times these days, they say, you know, like, a team choke. Like, Tech didn't choke. We just played better. They were still playing good. We just played better. Did they make some mistakes they didn't make in the first half? Yeah. But then we tightened up what we was doing. Like, I don't look at it that they choked. It's like we just kept battling, man.
Right. You know it's not saying? So much that they choked. It's that you guys did your job and put the pressure on them and caused those mistakes and turnovers.
Yeah, we wanted to run, bro. Like, you go on those runs, you get a spark, like Bond 3 sparked us. The catch by Thomas Jones was just phenomenal. Like, it was out of individual efforts that came to light. You know what I'm saying? Whether, you know, they get that pass interference on Stoops, and then Griff gets pressure on that quarterback and takes that quarterback out of field goal range. So now they coffin kicked us, and we had to, like, the 2 or 3 yard line. And we run the same – we go to our money play. We run the same play the entire time on that drive because we got 3 built-in reads off that play. It's simple. No need to panic. It's the same offensive call. Once we find out who the mic backer is, we know where we're going. And Casey Crawford was just getting open. And, I mean, it was simple, man, of just Aaron. Just like the fact that we had Aaron at quarterback, a common personality. You know what I'm saying? Just being in the huddle like, yo, we going to win. Right. It's just, just give me some time. I got you.
Yeah, he a super chill brother still.
Yeah. I mean, even when we was getting smacked, he never had like that panic. Yo, Aaron never panicked. Never. He never panicked. He was always just like even keel. And I think people, if you look at the time where Thomas Jones made his catch and they went back to Aaron, he's dapping up one of the defensive ends from Virginia Tech that got to him when he was throwing it. Like, he was seriously like, yo, you made a good play. He wasn't trying to clown him. He was just like, yo, respect, though. You made a good play. It's just TJ made a hell of a catch.
Right. I feel like Brennan's that way. Brennan seems real calm.
Yeah. Brennan will say, y'all having fun? Like, that Louisville game, he was like, man, y'all ready to have some fun? When he went down through the game, won a touchdown to Grant. Before they went out there, he said, y'all ready to have some fun. You got to think, those are two fourth down conversions. Right. Tough ones, too. Tough ones. O-line getting them time, and Keaton finding the soft spot in the zones and making the catch with a cast on his hand. Like, but five is telling y'all ready to have some fun.
Hey, Amon.
Crazy, man. Yeah, what's up, brother?
How are you today? Thanks for doing this, man. I love listening to your spaces. You do such a great job.
I appreciate you, man. What you got?
Hey, you know, my dad went to the Air Force Academy, so I grew up, you know, in Colorado Springs watching Air Force football. And then, obviously, I went to UVA, so I got to see George Welsh. You mentioned about him trying to slow down the game, and that's what, you know, military academies do, is they try the time of possession so much and they run the ball so much that they try to, you know, keep the offense on the field for a long time. Do you think that's possible in a Virginia offense with Brennan Armstrong, or is that something that, you know, Coach Bronco was doing and Coach E would want to do, is to try to, you know, the time of possession for the offense, to try to keep the ball on the field and, you know, shorten the game that way?
I think in like majority of the time when you approach a football game, you look at your opponent's strengths and see how you can get them out their comfort zone. But like you said, you don't want to lose sight in a time of possession, because that definitely plays a role. But if you're playing against a team that's a heavy, like a run heavy type squad, like a team that has a very good running game, you want to try to see if you could come out the gates going fast. Like, you want to be balanced, but if you could get quick strikes and put the pressure on them to see if they come out of their comfort zone or just trying to run the football. Like, if you could get up, like we did versus Duke, get up 14-0 real quick. Now they can't use Durant as much as they want because they feel like they got to stop the bleeding a little bit and score as well. But if you see that you can score fast and you are scoring fast, but your defense is having some trouble, then you start to slow the game up. And I think with Brennan, so just say if his numbers drop, right, because we're more balanced and running the football.
Yeah.
But he's demonstrating that now he can play out of under center some, or he can make the timely slant throws or the timely speed outs and bang eights. Just the little situational football type throws that you won't see in the air raid as much because they deem it as easier. But if he's more in pro sets out of shotgun, that helps him overall as a quarterback and shows – NFL scouts that the game is slowed down, he was still just as efficient, because a lot of times they feel like a lot of his numbers came from teams playing prevent or not wanting to give the big shot because they were up a couple scores and we was playing from behind. So that's a great question, man. I think it just depends on what your opponent is doing. But in anything you do want to take advantage of that time of possession.
So can the UVA rushing attack, I guess, improve? I guess that's the only thing that a military academy can do is they run the ball first. Can the rushing attack be a more important part of the offense, I guess, is, you know, I don't know what the OC's philosophy will be, but, you know, how important would it be for the rushing attack to kind of take the pressure off of Brennan?
It's going to be very important, because everybody's going to look to stop him throwing the football. And even when Coach Elliott had the Deshaun Watsons and Sunshine, they can be balanced. They can run the football as well. Like, they had backs who could get it done. You see they were invested in it. And here's the thing. If you can run the football, majority of times when a team can really run the football and be physical and can
winning the line of scrimmage, it spills over to the defense because that's what you prepare against during the week. So a lot of times when you have these air raid offenses, sometimes your defense is punished because that's all that's going against in practice. Now, you would say, oh, man, well, in that case, our secondary stuff should have been better. Yeah, but they ain't never had to really worry about the run like they did versus the other opponents because they were super bad. Like, anytime a team went against us, they gave you both running and passing. It seemed like it was 50-50, 200-200, or 175-300, you know? So if we are better offensively running football with our running backs, we're going to be that much better stopping the run defensively, I believe.
Right, because they see it every day in the practice.
Yeah, muscle memory, yeah. Man.
You see Thomas Jones every single day, and then your defense has to try to stop Thomas Jones. It's a whole different ballgame once you get to Saturday.
Yeah. I mean, you had your games where you had your hiccups. I'm remembering versus Maryland in 99. Lamont Jordan ran for 300 yards, and Thomas was still on our team. But, you know, it happens sometimes.
Yeah, but Lamont's a pro back, too, and he was a big dude, so it will happen. Yeah, I remember that game. Yeah, thanks, Lamont.
No problem. But, yeah, I'm liking what I see as far as, like, the linemen that we're getting and transfers, DNs that we're getting. The skill guys, I'm a skill guy at heart, so I'm always excited about the skill guy. But I know – like everybody's paying attention to the big guys we get up front, especially offensively, offense and defensively, both sides, definitely both sides. But,
your line is always going to be so important. If you are, like you said, always excited about watching the flashy players, but if you look down the line and watch the line, if they're pushing the other team at least a yard back each time they snap the ball, that gives you an indication of what kind of day it's going to be. If your line is, defensive line is getting in there and pushing your offensive line back, then you know, it's going to be trouble. So you can always see how things are going to go in the first and second quarter by watching the line play.
Definitely, man. If you look at all the Virginia teams that people deem very good, the fronts were legit both sides.
Right.
Both sides. Like, it's a no-brainer. Look at the 1990 team that was number one, offense, defensive lines, good go. The team I played for in 98, offense, defensive lines, good go. The 9-win team and the 8-win team recently with Bronco, both of the offense, defensive lines, good go. Especially the defensive fronts. They got after it, but that 8-win team and the 9-win team that Bronco had, they got after you.
Well, I watched a lot of Coach Rudd at Air Force, and, you know, his defenses would attack the offenses. So they would put pressure, you know, in their front four or blitzes or whatever they would do. And they, you know, they had some players, obviously, but they would put some pressure on that offense. And I think that, you know, he's going to bring that to Charlottesville, too, and allow the defensive backs to be able to play and not feel like they have to do everything back there and let the linebackers kind of roam. So I like getting Coach Rudd here. That's a big deal for UVA football.
No, I agree with you, man. I agree. And it's about depth, too, because if injury comes into play, that backup, how prepared are they to step into the starting role and make situational plays for the squad? So depth definitely plays a role as well. So that's what you want guys, no matter what, like, first year guy here, like, you can play. Don't think, oh, I need to develop, I need a rare shirt. Like, no, come in there like you want to play, because iron sharp is iron. The better you are, the better we will be as a group, because you're going to push that guy in front of you. So, yeah, man, like, over the years, it's shown us that we got to make sure that we have adequate depth, meaning,
okay,
we know it's a fall off between the starter and the backup, but if you can minimize the drop. You know, and sometimes you get surprised. Sometimes that guy you thought that was a backup is just a gamer. Like, he get in the game, like, whoa, where did this come from?
You think that's I guess you don't want that major drop off, because you look at it, the way Alabama plays football, they have 5 stars who are third string, and they rotate those guys the entire game. So by the fourth quarter, they're still strong and feeling good. But a team that, like you said, doesn't have that depth has to play their top 11 for 3.5 quarters. And once they get to the fourth, those guys are spent. And that's when the other team kind of takes over. So, you know, I guess that's what, you know, that philosophy, hopefully, in recruiting will kind of turn around with Coach E and his Clemson background will help him try to, you know, to recognize that, like you said, depth is going to be so important.
Yeah, it's just all about that mindset, man, because you got to make the game easier for yourself, too. If you don't have a lot of depth, and that's not a knock on the guys that are second or third on the depth chart, but mentally or physically, if they're not really there to give you a bunch of reps, you got to be that much more smarter and that much more intelligent on the field as far as your situation of football, of getting off the field on third downs, no timely or costly penalties and things of that nature. All that stuff comes into play, man. So that's why I love this game, because it seems it's so simple, but then all of a sudden that situation football comes into play. And it's like, did you prepare your players for this moment right here? You know, a lot of times we used to be in practice like, man, why are we going over this damn scenario? This scenario ain't going to happen. Then boom, it happens in the game. You're like, oh, I'm having a drill on this.
Yeah.
We good.
Yeah, I mean, we, you know, on a macro level, we saw it yesterday with the Bills and the Chiefs. If your defense cannot stop somebody, it doesn't matter what else happens, you know. In college football, defense is so important. We watched the North Carolina game. We watched the Pittsburgh game. Every time we'd score, they would come down and score. And, you know, that just kind of kills your momentum. So you'd need to, like you always said, you got to get some stops on defense to be successful in college football.
Yeah,
doesn't matter how good your offense is.
Yeah, that speed is an equalizer. Speed is a so much of an equalizer. It's crazy. Not, and I'm talking about more offensive speed. Like, you could be fast on defense. Don't get me wrong. That comes into play if somebody happens to break containment and things of that nature. But when you got explosive guys on offense, you can have the right call, but that call does not factor in how fast your opponent is. Like, it's just crazy. Like, the play Tariq Hill made yesterday on that dig route where they pressed him, the DB was inside leverage, forced him to go outside, and it's only a few receivers that can outside release you on a dig route and run the hump over top of you, like cut in front of you and still get inside without contacting you, catch it and come out the back end unscathed with everybody taking a proper angle for their speed, and he just blew by them. Like, that's something that you just be like, damn, that's special. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But once he made that cut to the inside and Mahomes saw him and fed him there, the safety had already pushed over to the left side. So, like you said, it becomes a foot race, and he's got elite speed, like, Olympic time trial speed.
And his speed transitions, too. A lot of folks don't really – I've seen a lot of guys who run – I've seen a couple guys that run 4.2, 4.3, but you put a football in their hand, they don't run that fast.
Oh, okay.
His speed transition, it carries. It's a lot of – I've seen a lot of guys that's fast, man. And for some reason, you put a football in their arm with a helmet on, it's like, yo, run faster. Like, that's as fast as you could go.
Right.
But that dude is phenomenal. They got two of him and
Hardman.
What's the cat? Yeah, Hardman. They the same. Man, look, man. That's...
I love Jefferson on the Rams. I mean, you got some players that, you know, when you watch those four games yesterday and Saturday or whatever, you know, you realize why those teams are there, because they have guys that can do, you know, the jet sweep or do the end of rounds and can make catches because they have elite speed. I know that's easy to say because it's the NFL, but if you have a game breaker like that, it changes everything. I mean,
yeah, bro. I mean, even with TK, even with Travis Kelce on the field goal, the 13-second when he ran the bang eight, he was a tight X, and people, you know, a lot of teams playing cover four, and he outside stemmed towards the corner's leverage to widen him out just a little bit more, and Pat hit him in stride as soon as he turned his numbers, and he got right up the field. The DB couldn't make the tackle. I mean, it's just like when you got special tight end play, like, you know, we even had it this year with Jelani. Like,
Jelani, yeah.
It's not fair.
Well, that's what they call it, is a basketball play where he can just post up because he's so much bigger. You know, you got DBs that are 5'10", 5'9", sometimes, and he's 6'5", 6'7". I mean, it's just, you post him up like a basketball play and have Brennan just throw the ball up there. And that's what, you know, hoping LaVell will be back healthy, that's a play they could even use at his position too, because he's so big for the jump balls.
I mean, yeah, that's what they were doing last year. Remember when who was he playing that he caught the ball and made the boy sit down and he got the flag for taunting? What game was that? It was a home game, but he basically ran a bang eight right in the slot.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, that's like situational football, understanding matchups, understanding ball placement, as a receiver, understanding what a threat is at and the spacing that you need. And Keaton was doing a great job of that, being like a tight end running over routes and stuff this year.
That's Debo right there. Keaton, yeah, Debo Samuel, the way he played.
Oh yeah. I mean, Debo, to get him the ball in the backfield. People got to realize, though, don't forget that Patterson started this receivers playing running back trend. He not a first team all-pro like Debo. Yeah, but okay. Yeah. Make sure we show him his love, man. You know, out of respect.
Well, he had some of that speed. He had speed that was, well, it wasn't heel speed, but he's got crazy speed.
He got good speed, too. Heck, yeah. Heck yeah! I mean, that bodes well for a guy like Keaton, man. Like, to be back, like, the more you could do, right? That's all. That's what they always say: the more you could do. So now, if I'm a high school player and I'm that tweener kid, are you a receiver? Are you a running back? Okay, we got a spot for you now. Because look what they're doing in the NFL. Like, now you don't have to get discouraged. Just make sure you know how to run between tackles. You can get those tough yards, so you could run routes in the slot and also on the outside. Like, at the end of the day, man, show you got a lot of skill sets, a lot of tools, and the right scheme will get you right.
Keaton did scare me a couple of times because he would just never go down. I was like, that ball's going to pop. I mean, he didn't drop the ball. He didn't fumble. But, man, I was so scared because everybody
was running that ball. The only game he fumbled, was it the Tech game?
I think that was the only time he fumbled.
But it just felt like he was going to fumble just because – he was breaking like three or four tackles and people on him trying to strip that ball with his broken hand, and he still held on to it most times.
Yeah, he's a beast, bro. He's a beast. He improved so much as a receiver last year. It's crazy. Like, he improved so much with just his understanding of how to line up depending on the route you have and how to attack a zone and how to settle down. Because all the quarterbacks I know, or former quarterbacks that moved to receiver, all of them got great hands. That's why when Malachi Fields was moving to receiver, I was like, oh, we good. Every former quarterback I know got great hands. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's crazy how that works out. Like, you know, Ron Curry is my quarterback in high school, moved to receiver in the pros. Got Terrell Pryor, who moved to receiver. Julian Edelman moved to receiver. Randall L moved to receiver. When Cordell was slash playing receiver, he was plucking them. Like, the list goes on and on of former quarterbacks that moved to receiver, and it's like, yeah.
Heath Miller,
yeah. Absolutely. So, yeah, man. If you just joined in and you want to speak, man, just hit the little microphone in the bottom left. You can come in and talk. We're talking all things Virginia football, also the NFL playoffs. Because they were so dynamic yesterday. We got Bryce Perkins still alive with L.A. won with the Chiefs. We got anybody for the 49ers? No, Tim not there no more. And then anybody with Cincinnati from Virginia? No, I don't think so. I think those are the only two.
Where's Brown at? Brown was in Cincinnati, wasn't he?
Yeah, Andrew was there. Andrew with the Chargers.
So I see we're not talking UVA basketball this week, huh?
Oh, yeah, you can talk UVA basketball. Absolutely.
No, please no.
Hey.
He said please no.
Nah, I still got hope in those guys. Maybe not for this year, but I got hope in them.
Yeah. What's up, Rob?
Hey, I'm sorry I got in late, but I had a question that may have been covered. Obviously, we're talking about Virginia football. The staff is now all set. Everybody's got their positions, which is great. I had a question. If anybody has input on Taylor Lamb, I had kind of mixed emotions about that, about him. I mean, he's young, and he's probably the most inexperienced coach we have at a critical position. But he was a great quarterback at the Division II school, if I believe. And any input on him? I mean, he might be a good recruiter because of his experience and where he's from. But I didn't know if anybody had any outsider input on him. He's very inexperienced based on his resume, I think. So I just was input if anybody.
As far as like, they, you know, air quotation, big boy football, as far as like the top of the top. But I've got all great feedback on him. Like, people speak highly of his football acumen and how he approaches the game. So I'm excited to see that. And the thing is with Brennan, with him being a former quarterback, that's always, you know, I don't know, man. I think it's hard to kind of gauge how good somebody will be, but the thing is he'll be surrounded by coaches with a lot of experience, and he'll be working hand in hand with Coach Elliott and Kitchens. And I think that plays a good role as far as if he needed that guidance to make that transition. So it won't be as difficult. But like you said, as far as recruiting, that's something that I'll just have to wait and see.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate that.
No problem.
And I know everybody talked about the playoff games. Incredible, the last four games. Absolutely incredible. In fact, the Kansas City-Buffalo game has got to be one of the best played games in the history of the NFL. No question in my mind.
Yeah. Unless you like defense.
I love offense, so that's why I just said that. I agree with you. No.
Yeah.
But no, it was a fantastic. I couldn't believe it watching that game.
I mean, Kansas City was the only home team that won this weekend.
Yeah.
As the only home. I mean, so Green Bay, shout out to Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't think he still hasn't thrown a touchdown pass yet, but they won. You know, special teams came into play.
Oh, yeah.
They won. Cincinnati, I like how Joe Burrow continued to battle. Got sacked all those times. Tannehill, you know, a timely interception thrown into coverage. They get the ball to Jamar Chase down the field in a hurry, field goal for the win. Like, then, and that game right there. So I know King Henry is back, but I felt like it's like they forced to play him and give him carries. Like, to me, the other kid was rolling. Like, that's when you kind of be like, yeah, I know you back, big baby, but he playing well. Let's just wait. And unless he get tired, that's what we'll use. I know it's hindsight is 2020, but that's tough right there.
Yeah, Foreman was moving that ball.
Yeah, man, he's been playing well. But salute to Joe Burrow. So you got Joe Burrow's 25, Josh Allen's 25. Lamar's not 25 yet, and then you got Patrick Mahomes who's 25. Now, don't get me wrong. Joe Burrow is only his second year. He's an elder statesman in his second year because he was in college much longer than the other guys because he transferred and stuff. But the future bright man for the AFC, and it looked like Buffalo gonna run that division. I mean, I know New England's still there. Don't get me wrong, but it looked like Buffalo is the change of the guard, and Josh Allen probably run that division until he hang him up, unless something crazy happened. What y'all think?
That's a good time for Rodgers and Brady to retire, if you ask me. I think the league's in good hands. I'm about tired of both of them, so they can both leave at this point.
Hey, man, I tell you what. I know Brady ain't going nowhere, man. You led the league in touchdown passes and yards. Yo, he ain't going nowhere. Nowhere. It's just amazing how they was ready to get him all the credit for coming back. And I'm like, the defense
caused all them dang on fumbles. Why we can't just say, hey, man, they came back. Oh, Brady does it again. He's coming back. I'm like, come on, man. Shout out to Matt Stafford for throwing that dime to Cooper Kupp, the best receiver in the NFL this year. Cooper Kupp is crazy, bro. He did that. Have you seen his college highlights?
No, I haven't.
Oh, my God. Check Cooper Kupp college highlights out, doing the same thing. The same thing. That kid phenomenal, man.
They slept on Kupp, man. He showed out in the Senior Bowl, and that's what did it.
Yeah, you talking about a supreme route runner, bro. Good gracious. I mean, he even fumbled in Tampa territory to get them a easy six, I believe. Or did they score a field goal?
He made up for it, though.
Oh, yeah, he definitely made up for it. Damn, God dang on Cam Akers. Tooth.
Yo.
The one before halftime would have really put the game away.
On the two.
On the two. We just prayed you, Cam. Gave you the ball last game, and this what you do?
Yeah, that was crazy.
He better be thanking Stafford and Kupp for saving him, because he was about to get trolled right out the league.
Yeah, man. I mean, the Dominican Sue damn near ripped this whole chest plate off to get that ball out, too. Come here, let me get that. I said, I forgot all about the bully of Dominican Sue. Justin, what's good with you, fam?
Hey, man, I appreciate y'all having me on. I love listening to your podcasts and everything, but I was trying to transition it back to UVA football for a second.
Okay.
With the spring game getting announced here coming up in April, I was just curious if we had any word on what kind of structure you think the spring is going to have with Coach Elliott in there now with conventional spring game practice numbers. I didn't know what your thoughts were on that.
Oh, I'm thinking he's going to do the conventional. I think that was just a Bronco way, you know, treating it like a practice with fans and the number lottery, the jersey lottery. I don't think Coach Elliott is going to do that. I think he has a traditional system to where he's probably going to allow players to pick their numbers, you know, or they assign their numbers. And then the spring game is going to be, you know, the old school, you know, offensive, you know, blue versus white or blue versus orange and the scoring system and things like that. So I think it'll get back to what everybody's been used to seeing the years before Bronco got here.
Well, that's good to hear. I'm looking forward to that. There seems to be a lot of excitement around the spring game with stuff
out there. Yeah, man. I mean, you know, credit to the coaches, credit to the administrator and the media and the marketing team's doing a great job of just causing an excitement, man. Like, the more you see on social media and coaches being out and speaking with various high school coaches and seeing various recruits and commits tweet about Virginia football, that's what you need. You want that traffic. You want that visibility because it breeds that excitement. And they're doing a great job, man. Like, ever since the staff was announced, I know they have been. I don't think they assigned like who's running special teams, but the fact that they're really out there speaking with everybody, the local high schools here in Charlottesville, I know they went to Albemarle High School and they sat down and talked with Coach Brandon Isaiah, who's a former player and a good friend of mine. I was like, the fact that they visited right here in their own hub just shows that they're not leaving. They're leaving no stone unturned. So that says a lot about what their message is and just trying to win the state, like they said.
Do you feel more engaged as a former player?
I'm always engaged with the coaching staff, bro. Like, that's just been my personality. Like, I just go in there and I talk to people. So it didn't matter. Like, with Bronco and his staff, I was super cool. With Elliott and them, they've been on the road so much, I haven't talked to him personally, but I know once they get settled in and get ready for the spring, I'm not too far from the campus. I know I go in and have good conversations with them. But when he came in for his press conference, he sat and talked to me for extended minutes, man. And it was just like just chopping it up. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was insightful and picking my brain about just the culture of Virginia football from when I played and what it needs to take to get back to that consistent success. So He's open to it, man. And we got a lot of things in store as far as alums building that relationship with him and his coaching staff. But he has an open door policy, man. So, yeah, I'm excited to build with him and his staff and see what's going on. Hold on, my bad. I got a phone call. I got some additional speakers in here. See my man Xavier in here. What's good with you, fam?
I'm good. How are you all?
I'm good, brother. Glad you joined in.
Yes, yeah, so I just want to say one thing. You know, y'all been seeing the commits and everything. I just say, stay tuned. This next week or so, we got some big things coming.
You see that, dog? You got somebody coming here, dropping a trailer for you. Like, stay tuned. That's what I like to see, right?
Right. He dropped the gems. I'm telling you, he was all over Twitter, man.
My God,
I felt like he on staff as a recruiter.
You love to see it, man. You love to see it, and that's what I love about utilizing this app in a positive sense. You feel me? Like, just creating a space where everybody can talk and have positive dialogue, and like, that's what it's supposed to be like, man. That's what's up. Let me see, Julie.
Yeah, I've been a UVA fan my whole life and grew up and love the Hoos, good and bad. And just recently over the pandemic got into following some coaches and former players on Twitter. And so I'm looking for a little perspective. I've been more engaged, and so I'm seeing more alumni tweet about the spring game and that kind of thing. And I was just wondering if that's been the case, and I'm just kind of late to seeing it as someone who's newly re-engaged in this way, or if that's something that is new to the Elliott area and people are making an effort to do that more. As someone who's just a fan, appreciated seeing, like, you put up here Brent Urban tweeting, and I noticed that I'm just seeing more, and I'm appreciating that because that's making me more excited for what's to come. And so I just wanted to share that because I'm more excited now that I'm seeing kind of results and progress and just more information, I guess, out there. So thanks. Nah.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Julian. Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's a lot of increased eyes and increased shares when it comes to Virginia football and the moves being made, just because it's a new head coach. So you definitely want to do your part and making him more visible, making the program more visible, because a lot of things could get lost through the cracks. Just to speak on the past, as far as like spring football and the game, I mean, it was shared, it was marketed, but I'll be lying to say it isn't gone up a notch, because it's a new guard. So you have to make sure you up it up a notch to create that excitement for the fan base, for them to come out to get their season tickets. I would say that Twitter space has definitely helped one man OG and talk about the NIL and the in-game experience, the conversations they've been having. So it's just all a testament to Coach Elliott, all a testament to fans like yourself, just continue to stay excited, because it can be demoralizing when you go through a tough season like you did and you have a new coach. A lot of people have a cause to pause, but the fact that we're creating this excitement now, when you see the recruits coming in and saying stay tuned, and you see guys committing after all the guys we had transferring, there's no bad blood towards them. You're welcoming in new transfers from other schools here now to this program. So, yeah, I think everybody's doing their part, from the coaching staff to the media to the administrators to alums like myself. We want to make sure a lot of positive eyes are on the program with Coach Elliott, because he's a national champion in his own right. So you want to pay him that respect, because he's used to a lot of buzz around the program. So you want to make him feel at home.
That's going to be super important, man, for us as fans to fill the seats. Like, that's going to show in a major way. Even if they go, you know, if they have a rough start and they go, you know, maybe lose a couple, it's going to be important for the fans to stay engaged and keep the excitement up and the enthusiasm, because recruiting never stops. So while they concentrated on the 22 class, you know, they're looking at the 23 and the 24 class. So we just gotta do a good job of keeping up the excitement, showing our support for Coach Ian and the rest of the staff, and just keep letting recruits know, man, like when you come here, it's love. Win, lose, or draw, like it's gonna be love.
Yeah, man. Yeah, buddy, like we've been saying for weeks now, it's like recruiting just doesn't take place in the off season or in the spring or in the fall. Like, you got to recruit your own room now. Like, during the season, make sure guys are still interested in your program. You got to have recruits recruiting recruits. Like, yo, man, word of mouth is powerful, and there's no stronger voice than a peer. You know what I'm saying? I remember talking to Antoine Womack when he was going to Penn State. I'm like, bro, you don't want to come to Virginia too? We all up there. Like, and then seeing him switch from Penn State to Virginia, like, that was like the best feeling. And then we roommates and stuff like that. So that's where the power is at in recruiting. A lot of folks don't realize that. Yeah, the coach, like, don't get me wrong. Yes, the coach is still the deal, and players build relationship with coaches. But when you got, like, familiar faces or people you hear about and you speak with on social media that's at a school, and you finally get to play alongside, like, yo, you building your own super teams. And you changing the landscape of the game. You being those trailblazers. Like, that's dope, man. That's dope. So, any new speakers? Hey, OG, what's up, man?
OG up in this thing?
OG up in the building. OG probably still on the ground or something, just listening with his iPod or something.
Right.
I mean, not his iPod, his... I said iPod. I didn't mean to say that, dog. I ain't trying to play that iPod with your earbuds.
It's Walkman.
Yo, I just found my old school iPod, like the one of the first ones, the big thick one that had the little clicker when you moved. Oh my god, yo, it's so nasty. I got like 3,000 songs on that thing too. All the Tupac.
You might want to hold on to that, Hawk. That might be worth something.
It keep a charge for about 5 minutes. Yeah, anything else anybody had that they wanted to talk about that we didn't cover? As always, man, this will be uploaded as a podcast episode, the Ball Hawk Show podcast. Go to iTunes, man, and leave a review to help with the algorithms. If you want to be a sponsor, hit me up. I can send you some sponsorship packages, but anything, man, I just appreciate folks that go to iTunes and leave a review, man. That's what it's all about, because once you get in that positive algorithm, it starts to jump out there and people's suggestions, you know, and that's all I need, because if they see it and they click on it, I feel like once they listen, I feel like they'll come back. So that's all I always tell folks, just make sure you do that. Ike, you ain't want to say nothing today, homie? Ike really chilling today. My dog Dre in the building. It's good with you, Dre. Let me see who else in there. Adam in the building. What's up, my guy? Low B. There's a lot of the usual suspects here. I don't want to put everybody on blast. Some people like, don't say my name. I'm at work. I don't want it to be documented. One day I'm going to get Coach Elliott to come in here. He probably have a burner account, so y'all can't see it's him. Nah, I'm joking with y'all. Let me stop playing like this. Somebody be like, hey, Ball Hawk said Coach Elliott got a burner account. My man Dwight Vick in the building. What's good, big bro? I see you, man. My guy. Make sure y'all check out that podcast with him and my bro, Mike Vick. I know people be like, Mike Vick? Yes, Mike Vick, my bro. Check out their podcast, man, Vick757. It's dope. They support me, so support them. You know what I'm saying? See if Adam join. Let him connect. There you go.
What's happening, man? What's happening? I just wanted to salute the staff on getting around Virginia and starting to make these relationships happen.
Yeah, beautiful thing, right?
It is. I'm waiting for them to offer my kid, but I love the relationship that they're building.
No doubt, man. You know, stay on them, though. Oh, yeah. Definitely stay on them. Shoot, man. I like seeing what they're doing, too, man. I like to see that the pictures circulating about all the high schools they hitting up. And it's crazy because both schools, like, you see one with Tech, then boom, you see one Virginia. Or Virginia going, then boom, you see Tech. So it's a beautiful thing that all of them getting back to the essence, man. So that's what it's all about.
Yeah, we need to lock out Penn State. I'm tired of seeing Penn State raid our players every year.
Hey, I mean, Dex on the staff, and he's part of recruiting, so Dex know where home at.
This is true.
Yeah, man.
Don't like it, though.
Nah. I feel you. I definitely feel you on that. Man, so I ain't got too much, man. Y'all, what y'all thinking, man? Y'all think the basketball team going, do you think they got a run left in them, or?
It's over for basketball this year, man. We just got to prepare for next year for basketball. But, hey, we just won that championship a couple years ago. We can't win every year.
Yeah. They got a nice recruiting class coming in for sure. Oh, y'all see DeAndre Hunter get fouled by Oubre, man. Oubre a good dude, too, man. It was hard to see that because I know he ain't mean it. But once somebody fall like that, you know you're going to get reprimanded.
Yeah, that was crazy. Looked like a Grayson Allen foul, right?
No. Don't put Oubre in there with Grayson. Grayson by himself. Sweep the leg. He by himself, Cobra Kai looking self. No, sir. Salute to Oubre, but Grayson, yeah. His he got a track record that says he dirty. He might be a nice dude. I don't know him personally, but man, he do some stupid stuff.
Yeah, I wonder how many times he got punched in the face as a kid doing that kind of stupid stuff.
I bet you Grayson probably got them tattoos too. You ever seen his paws? He got some mitts on him. He probably be smacking the hell out of people. What you gonna do, huh? He no little guy, man. He put together. I remember when he was a freshman, I was like, yo, that cat put together right there. He might be a little crazy, and I was right. You could just look at somebody and be like, yo, I bet you they crazy. Just do stupid stuff. Miss a jumper, thought they should have made and just clip you or something.
Yep,
I gave you ball. Shut up. If I take my ball and go home.
Oh, that was him.
That's it. Give me my ball. I'm out of here. I'm out. And see, you got another ball and punt that joint. Poof. Man, and then they sent the Pelicans sent Trey Murph to G League, and he got busy.
Well, I didn't know he went down.
Yeah, I think he did. And scored 30. I mean, he was getting buckets.
Yeah, I think our basketball team, they'll be all right, but they need something else on the roster right now. I don't think they have a true four that can really get buckets down low. I like Gardner's game, but against ACC opponents, he's just a little undersized, so he needs.
You think Gardner like how Mike Scott was? Not, I mean, not that he is Mike Scott, but some remember Mike Scott was like the baseline guard. Remember he had that baseline jumper?
Oh, you know who he reminds me of who he really reminds me of? Travis who? Watkins.
Come now, whoa. Travis a baby, though. Down there. Yeah, I don't know about that. Travis right. Was a monster down he there, was a bro. Beast.
The size down. That's why I'm just thinking the size, because Travis was undersized, but he was a beast down low.
Travis was a low boy. Lucky lefty went at you. What? Now, Gardner, don't get me wrong. Gardner ain't no sucker now. He going to bang with you. But I think his game is more like between Mike Scott before he got to the NBA. Well, like Mike just – I just remember Mike had that patented baseline jumper that it was just water.
And I feel like Gardner, if I feel like Gardner got ability where he got that nice mid range game. And Anthony Gill was like that too. Gill had a nice little midi.
Yeah, but Gill was he banged a little bit more. He was very physical. Oh,
definitely. Yeah. Definitely. And I mean, Gardner is too. Gardner is too. Like I don't want people thinking I'm saying Gardner not physical. He is like Gardner could play, like point blank play. He could play. Right. I just feel like his game reminds me of somebody who could just a big man who just got that nice midi when you need
Brandon
it.
Bass.
Brandon Bass. When he was on Orlando. Look at you. Took it back with the waves too. Brandon Bass kept the waves.
Yeah, it seemed like we just don't have the guard play this year though. You got to be able to have those interchangeable guards that can go get their shot. It seems like we don't really have that this year.
Yeah, we're coming off the bench. Yeah, what you looking for? That's why I do like Marcel transferring. It's like damn, that would have been another like guy that could at least give you some spurts of something, of some type of. Some, because I'm one that used to be excited about him when he was here. Now they just be talking like he trash can juice. I'm like, yo, y'all used to brag about this kid a lot.
Hawk, that kid was shooting 35% from the field. He was supposed to be a shooter, but he couldn't shoot.
I'm just saying, all I do is return the energy. I remember when I used to be like, yo, because people used to be like, yo, he could shoot. And I used to be like, where? I'm still trying to figure it out. That's all I used to say. They'd be like, no, I'm telling you. And now that he's gone, they're like, oh, he can't shoot. I'm like, but y'all used to be the main ones, and he could, he could shoot.
Now, so, who was Justin Anderson's shooting coach? Because that's what we need to have on staff. Because I remember he looked like poo-poo from the outside his first year or two. And then he went to some shooting coach, and he's hitting all these threes. That's the guy we need on staff.
Justin put in a lot of work, too. A lot. You right, because Justin Drake was janky promotion. All he would do was bam on you and block shots. Then all of a sudden, he started shooting like he was Joe. I was like, "Ooh, wait a minute. Who is that?
Yeah, that's you, Jay?
When you start shooting like that?
Man, you know? I think we would have had a natty right there if he didn't hurt his finger that year.
Yeah, that hurt. Because you knew he had to leave. That iron was too hot to come back.
Speaking of Justin... Justin McCoy should have stayed at shouldn't have went to Carolina. He could have stayed with us. He over there getting splinters, man.
Hey, Justin said he had need. Because somebody told me a story about why he maybe left. If I don't know if was Carolina ever a part of recruiting or they came late. I don't know, but yeah, it don't look like it was a good decision right now.
And I know he's from Carolina, so maybe he wanted to be closer to home, but it doesn't look like it was worth it.
Yeah, that's true. That's definitely true. If you just came up as a speaker, you can unmute whenever you're ready. Yeah, man, but that's all I got for today, man. I'm happy for the excitement with the program, love what the coaches is doing, love the recent commits and transfers and things like that. Xavier just came in here to say stay tuned later this week. They're going to see more things as far as commitments. So when you got to recruit somebody that's still playing, that's playing on the squad saying stay tuned, then I'm going to be tapped in. I'm waiting. So that's a beautiful thing right there. But salute to the coaches, man. For all that they doing, man, reaching out, tapping in to all the local high schools here in Virginia, and just on the grind, man. And I'm excited. The spring game been announced, so make sure y'all there for that. That's at the top of the space. You can see I share Brent Urban's tweet. You know, April 23rd. It should be your traditional, style of spring game. I know Bron treated like a practice with fans, but it should be back to what you guys are used to. So it'll be your first time to see the staff and the players in full go action. So mark your calendars, April 23rd, man. As always, y'all subscribe to the podcast, the Ball Hawk Show podcast, on all major platforms. Make sure you go to iTunes, leave that review. Helps with visibility and the algorithms. And that's all we got, man. That's an hour. Until next Monday, make sure y'all go check out OG Who, though. His is at 8 o'clock here on Twitter Spaces, 8 p.m. He be having his own dialogue about the NIL and all the fan experience ideas and anything you guys want to tap in and talk about. So make sure y'all check that out, man. So I'll get this uploaded as a podcast episode later today. Got to go pick up my daughter from track practice. Y'all be safe. And we out of here. Wahoo wah. Peace.